Would you please stand? The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The Lord is my strength and my song.
And my
song. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. The processional hymn, Praise God for the Harvest of Farm and of Field. Praise God for the harvest of farm and of field. Praise God for the people who gather their yield. The long hours of labor, the skills of a team, the patience of science, the power of machine. God for the harvest that's sent from above, from market and harbor, from everyone to Mara Hamlet Parish Church for this evening service of thanksgiving for the blessings of harvest. We were, of course, to have the Bishop with us on his first preachment in Mara Hamlet. Unfortunately, he has had to self-isolate, having been in recent contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID-19. This is obviously disappointing for him and for us. He has asked me to convey his apologies for his totally unavoidable absence this evening, something we naturally completely understand. However, he does hope to reschedule his visit in the very near future. But tonight, in his place, we extend a very special welcome to the very Reverend John Dillon, former Dean of Down. John is a much valued neighbour and colleague and is no stranger to our group of parishes. We are delighted that he is with us this evening and look forward to his ministry of the word later in the service. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Beloved in Christ, we have come together to acknowledge our dependence upon God and to praise him for his goodness. We have come from the village and the countryside, from narrow lanes and roadways, from fields and gardens, from workshops and factories, to give him thanks for the harvest of our land and for his presence with us throughout the year. And we would ask with confidence his continued blessing upon the labours of our hands. But firstly, we remember that the judgment of God is upon us for any misuse of our stewardship, for any neglect of our land, for all waste and adulteration of our food, and for all injustice in its distribution that we can prevent. With our thanksgiving and our desire to dedicate both our work and our lives to his obedience, we recall our disobedience to God's commandments and our failure to do his will. Let us kneel and confess our sins to God our Father. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent for all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, our God and Father, for you have created us and you sustain us. Through your only Son, Jesus Christ, you have revealed your love and your care for all your people. You are ready to forgive and to save in time of need. So we proclaim your glory, singing. Thanks for the harvest of the earth, which provides food to maintain life, both in body and spirit. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness, and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need, and for our own well-being, through Jesus Christ our Lord. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and show ourselves glad in him with songs.
Thou visitest the earth and blessest it.
And thou makest it very plenteous.
Psalm 65.
Chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Then Boaz said to him, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face on the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean even among the standing sheaves, and do not reproach her. You must also pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles, and leave them for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and was about an ephah of barley. She picked it up and came into the town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gleaned. Then she took out and gave her what was left over after she herself had been satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz."
The canticle, Deus Misericordiae, we stand to sing.
Our second reading is from the first first letter of John, chapter 4, reading at verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is the word of the Lord.
While the congregation remains seated, the anthem, Fairest Lord Jesus, will be sung as a solo.
Jesus of God, our
the hymn, "We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land."
Congratulating him on his career as an educationalist.
And he said, it's wonderful what what you're able to do to educate the young people up there in the university. Because when you think about it, if you didn't educate them, they'd all have to come back home and use their brains. That kind of earthy wisdom which you get in the farming community does make me uncomfortable when I stand up to preach at a country harvest. But anyway, to the readings that we looked at this evening, and especially the reading from the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 2. It's the Bethlehem barley harvest, and Ruth and Naomi arrive in the harvest field. Both of them are now widows, and they meet up with Boaz, who is a man of faith, and he allows them to gather the leftovers around the edge of the field. Now this would be part of Jewish law, and therefore it was an expectation of the women, and it was an indication of Boaz's faithfulness to the law. But not only the reason for that was that in law they were to look after the foreigners, the strangers, the widows, and anyone in need. And the reminder of that comes in the book of Leviticus, because you were once strangers in Egypt. And indeed, that is a principle which we who are of the faith traditions need to think about today, because frankly, the treatment of foreigners and strangers gives us very little credit in the times in which we are living. Whether they be strangers coming across the channel in rubber boats, or whether on the other side of the ocean they are people trying to better their lives and escape from abysmal poverty, we seem to have overlooked that they deserve a place in our society. But be that as it may, Boaz not only instructs his men to allow these women to gather the leftovers, but if you were reading this passage in verse 16, as we read, he gives this instruction, and this is really what I want you to note this evening. Pull out some handfuls from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. Pull out some handfuls from the bundles. And that is a verse which I often think about at harvest time, because we're being asked not only to celebrate the blessings of harvest, but to remember to give generously and liberally to those in need. And that is essentially what Boaz is instructing his workers to do. Pull out some stalks, as the NIV says, from the bundles. And you know, you probably remember that story of Jesus feeding the multitude. And these people were following him, and they had been with him for some days, and he noticed that they were tired, they were weary, and they were hungry. And he said to them, give these people something to eat. And his own disciples said to them, well, where in this desert are we going to find something for them to eat? And Jesus returns their question with these words, how much do you have? How much do you have? And that's how they fed the multitude. And that's the question that we are asked at harvest time. Well over 100 years ago, George and Richard set out to make chocolate. It was some years before they became good at it, but they became very good at it. And every morning before they left for work at the factory, they had a daily reading and a prayer. And of course, in those daily readings, they would have learned the stories of a generous and compassionate God. The result was, in their factories, they first of all gave the workers holidays. They saw that the factory was heated. They developed sports fields, swimming pools, and even provided houses for the workers, and eventually built the village of Bourneville. George and Richard Cadbury. Now, I'm not advertising because, of course, Cadbury's today, I don't know who owns it, it certainly isn't the Cadbury family, but it's probably now some multinational. But here were two people who, because of their faith and their faithfulness to a God whose love they knew in their own lives, were generous and compassionate to others and the way they treated their workers. And in every generation, people have been changed and challenged when they think of how much God loves them, when they recognize the love of God for them in Jesus Christ. That's what John is saying to us. God is love, and God showed his love for us in sending his Son to die for us. It's not that we loved God, but it's he first loved us. And it's important that we get the sequence right, and when we realize what comes first, it is hard to resist what we must do in response. So, in this story, Boaz's instruction to his workers is, pull out some handfuls from the bundles, give them out of your resources, because this is what God wants for us. It was the late Billy Graham, the evangelist, who said, your checkbook, but of course nowadays, what's a checkbook? Maybe it's your credit card, is a theological document. A theological document. It tells you not just what's in your bank account, but how you see God in your own life and in the life of those around you. To look compassionately and generously at the world about you. And that's why, no doubt, the original prayer book service for these occasions was known as a thanksgiving, not a harvest thanksgiving, a thanksgiving for the blessings of the harvest. I finish with this story. I once heard about a little boy who went into a sweet shop with his mother. And in the course of the time they were in the shopkeeper took a jar of sweets and offered the little fellow a sweet. He declined the offer. He declined it repeatedly. And when he went home, his mum said to him, tell me, why did you not take the sweets from Mr. Smith? And he replied with youthful wisdom, I suppose, why, Mr. Smith's hands are bigger than mine. Mr. Smith's hands are bigger than mine. When we think of the blessings that we enjoy day to day, even in the circumstances we're living through at present, we have so much to be thankful for, and therefore we must be compelled to share what we have with others. And just as a footnote to all this, and to do my best as second fiddle, I brought with me this evening a box of sweets. You'll notice they're not Cadbury's. And they're in the porch. And I once did this with children, and I know it's always what I say to children that's remembered. What I say to adults, I say it so complicatedly that it's never remembered. It's a preacher's weakness. But I want to say to you, when we go out tonight out of church, take two sweets out of that box. We leave the rest, and don't be thinking about him, we leave the rest for your record, whatever remains. You take two sweets, but before you eat one of them, give the other one to someone else. And I want to suggest you don't give it to the person who takes you home in the car. Give it to somebody you know who maybe is on their own. I know you can't, you've got the social distance, and I'm probably encouraging you to break the rules, but take two sweets, keep one for yourself, but be sure to give the other one away. Pull out some handfuls from your bundles and give them to those in need. Let's pray together. O God, our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, which is new every morning, and your mercies, which never come to an end. And we thank you this evening for all the blessings of harvest time that we enjoy. Help us to see the extent of your love, its height, its depth, its length, its width, in Jesus Christ, and to be liberal and generous to those who are in need today. Amen.
Would you please stand? We respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed mankind?
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God?
I believe and trust in him.
This is the faith of the Church.
This is what I believe. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
While the congregation are seated, the anthem, "Think of a World Without Any Flowers," will be sung as a solo. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, We thank you for giving us power through your Spirit to reveal your life to the world. Strengthen, bless and guide us to make you known by word and example. We give thanks for the place of Christian faith in our community life, for picturesque churches and for the flowers that decorate them, for Sunday worship and service to the neighborhood, for cooperation involving various branches of the church. Grant, Lord, that your church in country and developing areas may have special grace, power, and wisdom to be your body and proclaim your word, so that people of every kind may befriend each other, learn from one another, and create caring communities in the midst of this pandemic, for the good of all and to the praise of your name. We are your church, Lord. We thank you for your creation and pray for the earth you have given us to cherish and protect. We thank you for the trees and flowers that make our surroundings bright and beautiful. Help us to appreciate the parks and gardens and hanging baskets that contribute to tidy towns and a beautiful countryside. Nourish us in your love for all you have made. We offer prayers for the world, especially for those places where the harvest is inadequate or where yields have been poor, even when the sowing has been great. We pray for your grace to share the hunger and the hope of the world's poor. We are your stewards, Lord. Guide and bless us in our work and in our play, and shape the patterns of our country's political and economic life, that all may share in the fulfillment of your creative work. Bring to an end coronavirus and all that makes for violence and death. Grant that our various endeavours may bring a joyful future which will nourish our country and our world with the fruits of health and strength. We are your servants, Lord.
Guide us in your grace.
Awaken our hearts to your presence in all people, in those we love, in those who differ from us, and those who are familiar to us. We pray for our families and friends, and give thanks for the fellowship of all associated with this parish. We pray for the community in which you have set us, for one another and for ourselves, as we give thanks for the beauty of the natural order and the peace and quiet of the countryside. We pray that those town dwellers who come to live in the country may be made welcome, and that they themselves may seek to become involved in the life of the local community. We are made in your image, Lord. We thank you for the gift of life, with its blessings and its sorrows. Shield the joyous. Comfort and strengthen those in need or trouble, especially the sick, the housebound, and the anxious. We ask your special blessing on all who tend the sick. Counsel the distressed, sit with the dying, or develop medical research. We give thanks for the communion of saints, and especially for those who have recently died. In particular, we give thanks for the life and work of the late Oliver Greer. As the seed sheds its husk, so we must shed our bodies if your harvest is to come home. Help those who mourn the loss of loved ones to remember that beyond the pain is healing and wholeness, and the peace of coming home to you. In you alone we have eternal life, Lord.
Guide us in your grace.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we offer our prayers and thanksgiving to you, Lord God, source of all that is true and holy, now and forever. Eternal God and Father, bring us by your love and redeem us by your love. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give gift in love and service to you and to one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us sum up our prayers and praises in the words our Saviour Christ has taught us and sing. Collection will not be taken at this point in the service. Harvest offerings may be left in the basket in the porch as you leave. The hymn, Great God, Who Made Us All for Man.
Oh. praise and thank God for all the blessings and joys in life in the words of the general thanksgiving. Let us without fail give thanks to God for his goodness. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we thine unworthy servants do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for thine inestimable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving of ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. God, who clothes the lilies and feeds the birds of the sky, who leads the lambs to pasture and the deer to water, who multiplied the loaves and fishes and changed water into wine, lead you, feed you, multiply you, and change you to reflect the glory of our Creator through all eternity. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. This year's Harvest Festival draws to a close. May I repeat some of the sentiments I expressed this morning in thanking all who provided gifts of flowers, greenery, and anything else that contributed to the beautiful floral and other decorations that have been such an inspirational backdrop to what has taken place in church throughout this day. The circumstances of the Harvest Festival this year are, of course, somewhat unusual, hence the request that the emphasis would be on non-perishable items of food. Thank you for your magnificent response to that request, and of course these items will be passed on to our local food banks. Any service, but particularly a harvest, would be incomplete without the music. So, sincere thanks to our organist, Francis McGorriam, and I'm not going to attempt to count Number Harvest. This is Francis, uncertainly.
No, Brother Mark Macklin.
Throughout my ministry, you have been a rock in terms of the music, and it's no exception this year. Thank you for playing for us and encouraging us. For the reasons we all know, it's not possible to have a choir at the moment, but after what the Dean has said, I dare call you a second fiddle, then it might give the wrong impression totally, because you're anything but a second fiddle. But can I put it this way? You were a most welcome alternative. We know you very well, you know us well. You've been coming along to our Harvest Thanksgiving, I suspect as long as Francis is, maybe even a bit more, I'm not sure, but it was before my time it all started anyway. And you help our choir out year by year. I think on every Sunday evening, over all the years, your last words to me as you go out the door is, see you again next year. So thank you, Lynn, for what you did for us this year, in the beautiful solos that you sang for us, and also your assistance in leading the congregational singing. We are very grateful to this morning's preacher, Canon Stephen Fielding, and also this evening, Dean John Dillon. He immediately, I can truthfully say, without any persuading, when I explained the circumstances of why I was coming up so late, whichever fiddle he was playing, even though he claims he doesn't play the fiddle.
The third or fourth.
No, I don't think so, John. Thank you so much for your ministry of the word to us this evening, which we have greatly appreciated. Thanks also to all who behind the scenes have enabled the church and the hall to be used. Having two services on one day, it's not happening very often at the moment, and certainly here it's unlikely to happen again for a while. But I'll say the work and effort of those behind the scenes has made it possible, and we are grateful to them. Sunday next is All Saints Day. There will be a service of morning prayer at 12 noon, when by tradition we remember by name those from the parish who have died during the past year. Parish communion will be deferred until later in the month of November. Those intending to be present at next Sunday service, could I once again ask you please to inform George McCurry or Hilary Edgar. Their contact details are included in the letter posted to parishioners earlier this month. The recessional hymn, Now Thank We All Our God.
Thank you. we say together, grant, O Lord, that as we leave your house, we may not leave your presence. Be ever near us and keep us close to you, now and forever. Amen.